Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm traveling a lot, and when you travel, you got to protect your data. You got to protect your privacy online. NordVPN.com/Fightful allows me to do that, allows me to browse safely and securely. When you go to an airport, when you go to an arena, a restaurant, a hotel, you're usually connecting to that unsecured Wi-Fi, which leaves you susceptible to having your data stolen, any number of things taken from your private connection or what should be your private connection. NordVPN.com/Fightful makes it a private connection with the fastest VPN in the world, a 30-day money-back guarantee, and a ton of other features in addition to that peace of mind that you get when you can browse safely and securely. And I'm talking all your devices, Surface Pro, laptop, desktop, PC, smart TV, router, phone, whatever you're taking with you, NordVPN.com/Fightful will add extra layers of security to your digital life. You can get a password manager, a file encryption tool. Be safe, be smart. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Welcome.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
to Fightful, here with a name you know. You know him from Dark Side of the Ring, Tales from the Territory, and now Who Killed WCW starts 10 p.m. June 4th on Vice. I had a look at the first episode, and man, was it fantastic. We've got Evan Husney. How are you doing, man?
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Finally, we meet digitally, but we meet and are talking for the first time, so thank you.
Indeed, and man, I mentioned this right off the top. I got a look at that first episode, and it was unlike any other WCW documentary that I had seen. And I know there were some people online that are like, oh, another one? Is this beating a dead horse? No, it is not beating a dead horse, because all the documentaries that you have seen prior were WWE, they were on the network or DVDs or whatever. And anybody that can see my little DVD rack back there knows that I've got plenty of those. I'm well studied on that. Well, what led to you covering this topic that many claim had been covered ad nauseum, but if you ain't read the Nitro book or seen this documentary, it really hasn't.
Yeah, man, there's so much that led to this. I'll try to be brief. First off, I grew up as a huge WCW fan. I was more of a WCW fan as a kid than I was WWF at the time. I grew up in Minneapolis. Nitro came through a lot, and I went to all the Nitros that came through. Huge fan, played all the N64 games to death. So it holds a very special place in my heart. That's number one. Number two is anytime we were doing a new season of Dark Side of the Ring, we were putting it out on social media. What do you guys want to see for the next season? And 9 times out of 10, we would get responses from people to cover the death of WCW. That was an often requested thing. And we had looked into it many times in previous seasons and just couldn't wrap our heads around how we would do it. In one or two episodes, it just didn't quite fit and we couldn't make it work. And we were developing a podcast. We still might do it. We were going to do a Dark Side of the Ring kind of spin-off podcast that like would cover stories that are almost too big for the show. Yeah. And we thought maybe we could do it like, you know, the final years of WCW as a subject. And it started, we just got so excited with this idea that we're like, wait, maybe this could be its own series, for television. And then, we'd done Tales from the Territories with $7, Dwayne Johnson's production company, and Vice wanted to continue that collaboration. And so just kind of these two perfect things, like, well, what about this? Would you guys be interested in doing this doc about the sort of the last years of WCW? And $7 was all on board, Vice was all on board, and then we were off to the races. And we only started filming it in December, so it's a very quick turnaround.
So you had mentioned the $7 connection, but at what point do you find out, oh, The Rock's going to be involved in this? He's going to be interviewed, because I mean, that is such a huge point of this, because obviously when you think WCW, you don't think of The Rock, but obviously if you can get The Rock featured on something like this, you're not going to say no to that.
Exactly. Yeah, it was nothing we really planned on, in terms of having The Rock sit down for an interview. But it just, as we started sending him cuts of the episodes, he was so enthusiastic about them. And he loved that first episode. And he was like, I want to sit down for this. You know, we're like, awesome.
Love it.
And it actually worked out more so in a practical way, because there were most of the people we interviewed for this, you know, had lived through the demise of WCW. And that was the whole point of this, by the way. The whole point was to not go the WWE framework, you know, because, you know, victors rewrite history, and we didn't want to go down that path. It doesn't really get into, like, it touches on it, but it doesn't really get into how, you know, the WWE, you know, fought back in the Monday Night Wars and stuff. It touches on that briefly, so it doesn't get into the DX invasion and all that stuff. But anyway, we needed somebody to speak enthusiastically about the good days of WCW.
Sure.
And nobody involved with WCW these days, you know, is going to speak enthusiastically about it. They're all kind of dejected, you know. So we needed a hype man. We needed somebody to put all this over and to talk about when it was good, how great it was. And there's nobody better than The Rock to really do that. And he also did touch on what his perspective was from the other side. You know, seeing how when WCW was kicking their ass, like, whoa, we need to be inspired by this, and we need to, you know, go in that, you know, more in that direction. So I think it all worked out.
Oft forgotten, The Rock is a two-time WCW champion.
That's right.
Based on when they brought the title over to WWE as well.
That's right.
I just love that The Rock is involved there. And I mean, you've got active WWE names or contingent names as well, which is not something that you saw in Dark Side of the Ring. In fact, some very integral names that you would see in early seasons when they went back to WWE, you might see them, but it would be archived footage or something like that. How was that? Like, I'm not sure of your personal relationship with WWE, if they are okay with you, despise you, if they deal with you. I can tell you, I've personally been up and down that roller coaster in my days too. So how was that for you, getting the ability, clearing that, or did you even need to with some of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. It was super awesome to be able to work with folks like Booker T, comes to mind, as somebody we've always wanted on the show. And going back to the Tales from the Territories collaboration, working with The Rock and Seven Bucks helped to open those doors that were previously not open for us on Dark Side of the Ring. Like on Territories, we got, you know, Jerry Lawler, we got Jimmy Hart, who his status had changed since earlier seasons of Dark Side. And that was great for us. Oh, we got Michael Hayes on Territories, something we've always wanted on. You've always wanted him on Dark Side. So those collaborations have helped us kind of bridge that gap. And this was the same, you know, in terms of getting, you know, folks like Booker T involved who, you know, by other means probably wouldn't be able to participate in a Dark Side episode. So love that for this. So love that collaboration in order to be able to speak to more people and, you know, to widen that net for sure.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from WWE, whether it be this or Tales or Dark Side of the Ring? Because obviously there's some stuff covered that they ain't thrilled about.
Sure. Well, I don't want to like name specific names, but over the years, you know, you meet people from WWE all the way down from, you know, camera people working in, you know, the social media departments, marketing departments, or you meet wrestlers themselves and they often admit like, you know, where I have to take my WWE hat off when I watch your show, but everybody's watching it, you know? And so it's cool. I think that, there are times, you know, when things have gotten heated in terms of some of the things we've covered on the show, of course, but I think for the most part, you know, we have a pretty good relationship. I don't know if it would ever turn into an official relationship in terms of getting, you know, approval on talent and things like that for Dark Side, but for the most part, you know, we know everyone's watching and for the most part, people dig what we do.
So in sort of preparing for the production of this, are you watching like the WWE versus WCW documentary they did on the network or the original one or anything like that to figure out ways to differentiate yourselves or to say, well, that didn't quite happen the way that they claimed?
That's funny. I had seen those when they came out, for sure. I remember them, the Monday Night Wars, the rise and fall of WCW, but I kind of purposely didn't revisit them going into this. One of the main things that I did go through was Guy Evans, you know, book Nitro.
Oh, incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I'll show here, you know, and it was sort of like we knew that that was going to be a big source of inspiration for us because a lot of new information came out of this. It was the kind of definitive what happened within the company without sort of the WWE noise around it. Here's what really happened, you know, and Guy Evans did a tremendous job speaking to a lot of Turner executives that had never spoken on the record before about WCW. And that was something that was really inspiring to me. I was like, I want this to also feature people who were on the Turner Broadcasting side, who didn't have the wrestling fandom stake in this that everybody else had, you know, from within the WCW. So Nitro was a huge source of inspiration. I read it cover to cover. And then we approached Guy Evans. We're like, hey, we love the book. We'd love for you to be a part of the project and to be sort of that voice that breaks things down from us for us in a very, you know, in a very objective way. Because, you know, sometimes when you have more of the traditional wrestling newsletter, you know, voices, they've lived through this and they're sort of part of the story too. So I thought it would be cool to kind of widen the net and to bring somebody in like
jaded
that.
By the content they jaded. Were subjected to at the time too. Like
totally.
There's nothing wrong with that. Because I mean, like, listen, they had to live through and cover a lot of this stuff. And in many ways, their livelihood was directly affected by some of the terrible content that they were subjected to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, especially at the end in the last year and a half, for sure. But that was a huge prep for this, was Nitro and talking to people and mapping out just how many, you know, we only had so many interview subjects we could, you know, so many shooting days, so many subjects, so many travel days. So we had to kind of make it all work as a puzzle piece for four episodes. It's a 4-episode series. And how best can we hit all these marks? Because we wanted to, of course, be able to tell the rise of WCW, you know, with NWO and it becoming this cultural phenomenon, the number one wrestling company in the world at that time. But we also really wanted to be able to spend time in the later episodes about the sale and about how these different figures at Turner Broadcasting and AOL sort of shadowy figures came in and pulled some, you know, nefarious strings that also led to the company's downfall. Stuff that's really not been talked about. A lot of controversies surrounding the sale to WWE that's never been touched on before in any sort of documentary. So there's a lot of new stuff here. For the most jaded WCW doc watcher, there's a lot of new stuff, I promise.
I feel like there is no better example of how to appropriately cover something that you weren't actively involved in, especially in wrestling, than Guy Evans' book. Like he approached it from I have an interest in this, but I don't truly know what happened type of way. And I think that's the best way. That man listened a lot. He interviewed everybody he could possibly interview. And I mean, you have a lot of people, especially who read the book. I know Eric Bischoff was a big proponent of it because Eric Bischoff was like, this is what I've been trying to tell you guys for a very, very long time, is this specifically. And I was so happy when I saw that Guy Evans was involved in it, because the work that had to go into that. I remember getting like early inquiries regarding that maybe about a year before the book came out. And I was like, really? He talked to this many people? Is this a real thing? Like it was so many people that I was like, is this like, what is it? And
yeah,
then it emerges and it is as good as we expected. A longtime dream interview of mine was Ted Turner. Obviously no longer a possibility. However, you all spoke to the man's son, which I mean, Mike, what a coup.
Yeah, we explored the possibility of being able to interview Ted Turner himself.
Yeah.
And his son even tried for us and said that it even might have been possible still.
Okay.
You know, he does have health challenges, so that's from what I've heard. I don't know what's exactly going on. So we were very excited at the possibility of that. But we wanted to get somebody from, you know, Ted's perspective, or because it is very important, because I mean it is sort of his baby at the end of the day. You know, Eric Bischoff is a huge part of it, making it successful, but you know, it was kept around for so long and sort of insulated and protected because of Ted Turner. And he sort of is the, you know, the foil to Vince McMahon in a lot of ways during that time. So it was important we get someone who could speak to that, because I think he is sort of an underrepresented voice or figure in this story. And he's a huge part of it. And so we had to definitely make sure we covered that. So his son, who is super cool, great guy. I think he comes off great in the show and he was super helpful. You know, it was awesome to work with him.
I mean, yeah, that's part of the reason why I find it so interesting, because we have not, since the demise of WCW, really heard from anybody directly connected with him on video form or anything like that. I know Conrad has done a good job talking to a lot of people that had been involved in production aspects and things like that. But for Ted Turner, like, the big question for many people was, how much did he really care? Was he keeping this running out of spite, out of love, out of whatever? So to hear somebody not just directly connected to him, but related to him, that experienced it and lived it, I think was just a masterful get.
Yeah, well, thanks. And I think it's it shows, like, wrestling was a huge part of building that empire and showing that this was almost guaranteed loyal programming too, you know, and Ted saw that. And obviously, you know, the sort of culture around it would change, but that's how you can see how, you know, why Ted protected it for so long, or felt its value, that there was value to it for so long.
Was there anybody that you guys spoke to that maybe surprised you with how they, I don't want to say performed on camera, but they were on camera, because with some of these people, they might, it might be a situation where they're like, okay, don't really want to talk about this again. Or there's some people that, you know, just they're able to carry this camera presence and it translates really well to telling this story.
Well, Kevin Nash comes to mind. Again, yeah. Who I think is going to wind up being the star of the show by the end of it. But he is someone we've never worked with before. Again, also has ties to WWE, and we've never had him on Dark Side. I don't think we've ever even really asked. We had never had the right opportunity. But he was amazing to work with. His his tone, his irreverence, his sense of humor, the way he sort of speaks. It's not like direct storytelling, walking you through every beat, but it's kind of the perfect color commentary, if you will, on all this stuff. The perfect, you know, punctuation mark on a lot of these stories. And he's so funny. He constantly cracked us up, and it was cool to hear from him. And what was important to him with this series was that it was, because I don't think he would have cared otherwise, is that it was finally, let's tell this story from the perspective of the people, you know, solely, minus The Rock, who were in WCW. You know, this is our story, and he wanted to own that and had a lot to say about it, you know, and it was awesome.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It was awesome to work with him on it.
How did it feel for you to see the Dark Side series expand so much, like 90s, 2000s, football, comedy, like all those things? Like, I keep our Samsung TV on the Vice channel, like throughout the day. Like, so I'll see stuff like this just pop up here and there. How did you feel to see it expand like that?
It's been crazy. like when we started out, all we had ever thought for this series, it was just going to be this standalone documentary on, you know, the death of Bruiser Brody. That was all we had ever anticipated or hoped for at that time, was just to make an hour long documentary for television on Bruiser Brody. And then it slowly just became, you know, turning it into a series and developing it into like all these different stories. And then, you know, building it out, getting a season one green light, and then going to season two, which where I think the show really took off, and then just seeing it sort of become almost like the Dark Side channel, you know, on Vice is crazy. And I had been working with Vice since, you know, 2013, so it's been a long ride for me, and it's just cool. It's really cool to see, you know, the show being embraced and it's taking on new forms. You know, we're totally in support of it, and it's just been cool. It's been cool to see, for sure.
So when you have a project like Who Killed WCW, is Vice immediately like, hell yeah? Or is it one of those things where you got to pitch them on it a little bit? How does that process work for you? Because as you mentioned, you have worked with Vice for a long time. Yeah. They understand what content, especially of yours, gets attention. But I'm really interested to see how that works out.
Yeah, well, it was it was still a little bit of a process. Because it is unique in that it's a four-part series. It's not something that typically happens for broadcast television, that sort of format. And it's boring to some, maybe, but it's like when you have 10 episodes of something, it's easier to spread the costs of a show around, and you can make it more sort of economic in that way. With four episodes, you're compressing a lot of costs, and it can be a little difficult. So it was challenging trying to get this down to the price that made sense for them to do. And pitching it, I think the first reaction was, well, you guys have covered a lot of this on Dark Side before. And we had just done the Bash at the Beach 2000 episode for Dark Side of the Ring, which I sort of look at as almost a pilot for this show, for Who Killed WCW. Yeah. And what was clear to me seeing the reaction to Bash at the Beach 2000, that episode, was there was a lot of interest, a lot more interest than a lot of the other stories we were telling that season. And people were really interested to relive that time period, to see the vitriol between, you know, all the characters involved. And there's still a lot of speculation and a lot of just a lot of engagement around WCW and a lot of course, nostalgia for it. So that was what spoke volumes to me and was sort of something that I showed them as well, too. It's like, yeah, this is going to be part of the story we're going to have to sort of retell again, yes. But you can just see the engagement on this subject is still so strong, and people have so much reverence for that time period, too, myself included. And so that was sort of the process of showing how it's going to break down. At first, we didn't know what it was going to be. Was it going to be a standalone film? Was it like a two-hour movie? Was it going to be a 10-part thing? I think at the end of the day, we probably could have made it a little longer. But I think
tell you how many times I've watched documentaries, though, especially in recent years, where I go, that could have been two episodes shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the stretching. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, same, same. So I think four is a good compromise. We definitely packed a lot in. It's very compressed. But I think what's really going to be cool for people to see, I'm very excited about people seeing last episode. Episode four is very interesting because it gets into, I feel like, a lot of uncharted territory. And one of the really cool things that we got as far as like never before seen footage, which is utilized in episode one and also mostly in episode four, is we found through Neil Pruitt, who is one of the brilliant minds in you know, who did, he's responsible for the NWO promos. He was doing a lot of the feature you know production that they had at WCW at the time. Great guy. He turned us on to this guy who had was sitting on now for over 20 years. He's been sitting on never before released 3 days worth of documentary footage chronicling the last days of Nitro. So literally in Panama City, the like lead up to the last episode of Nitro. So we got all this footage that no one's ever seen before, like Shane McMahon standing like in the middle of the ring, like during the day, you know, Bruce Pritchard coming in, you know, Gerald Briscoe coming in to the, you know, to the Nitro set, everybody looking dejected, not knowing what's going to happen. Interviews with like, you know, Canyon and, you know, Hugh Morris, you know, people talking about, I don't know what's going to happen. No one's told us what's going on. And it's really cool.
This wasn't WWE documentary footage. This was just documentary footage in general. My God.
Yeah, I believe he was a cameraman that had worked for WCW, and he decided to just roll on stuff and was filming it. And it was just 3 days worth of stuff we had to go through. But it was so cool to go through all of it because what a time capsule, you know, of that time and that moment of the last Nitro. So fans will be really excited about that. That's one of the main cool things I think about this, is seeing that stuff for the first time.
I did an interview with Jimmy Hart a couple of years ago, and he's like, I don't know how many times I've told people in WWE this, but I'm pretty sure Warner still owns like 100+ unreleased WCW songs. He's like, they're just sitting in a library somewhere and nobody knows about it. And nobody seems to be after them. Like, I hit up Mikey Ruckus and I was like, you might want to look into this, buddy.
I think that's right. I think that is right, because in the show, and we use it in the trailer as well, we did a cover of the NWO theme song.
I heard that.
With our composer, and I think we did it with that, you know, doing the publishing deal with, I believe it was Warner or one of their subsidiaries. So that fact is true. Yeah.
So we'll wrap up soon, but I would love to talk to you again, like either midway through the season or after the season as well, about this. A reminder, it is on Vice every Tuesday, 10 p.m. There's a lot of questions that people might not know how it works out, like as to how Dark Side or this series can use footage that is owned by WWE. Do you mind explaining that a little bit? Because I think that's something that, from a general understanding point, a lot of people don't get.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we work with lawyers and we work, you know, within the parameters of fair use in order to use that footage. There's a lot of, you know, there's no specific written in stone guidelines or rules. You know, you have to just basically be able to frame, you know, anything that you're saying, anything you're showing appropriately, you know, in terms of what you're illustrating. And so, you know, I myself am not the lawyer that handles that. You know, we have a legal team that handles that. But yeah, that's basically essentially what we are able to do with our shows. I mean, it's not much more complicated than that.
I love hearing about this. I look forward to hearing about it more. The first episode of this, again, I got a good look at, and you want to watch this documentary. The only ones that you have seen about WCW were quite literally written by the victors, and they were written by the victors in the Vince McMahon era, mm-hmm. which is categorically different than even what we see now, much less than one outside. Evan, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, man, exactly. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super glad you liked it. Thank you again for watching it and liking it. I appreciate that. I'm very excited to see the reactions everybody has to it. But yeah, we just wanted to make this also a fun ride in terms of the show too. I mean, we have a lot of love for WCW. So you're going to see a lot of, you know, shot on camcorder N64 footage that we put in there, you know, that came from our souls, you know? So I hope people also have a lot of fun with the nostalgia of 90s wrestling as well too. Thank you again.
Reminder, guys, starting June 4th on Vice, 10 p.m., Who Killed WCW? Until next time, we're out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.